The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome once again to It Came From Radio. This is your host, Mar Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, I have Brian, always happy to help us out. And I know our very own Hassan Godwin will be calling back very shortly. And our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, is going to be gingerly walking in just a few moments' notice. So if anybody has any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com, listen to us on the live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, you can see me on the web camera right now, waving hi, and Brian's also. That is if you are listening to us right now, if in the present, but your present might be an hour future, so it'll be our past. So you might be watching something else on the web camera, unless you're actually seeing us on Easter Sunday, which will be on, and then you'll see us talking about something else on the web camera. Oh, so I think we got it now? All right, there we go. Say hello, Hassan.
Say it again.
Say hello, Hassan.
Hello, Hassan.
There we go.
My connection to the space station is faulty.
We're a space station now?
I don't know where I am. Where did you say I was? I'm always someplace different every week.
Well, let's see. This week, you're on a restraining order, so you can't be 100 feet from the station. And it was a slight mix-up.
Yeah. They finally found me, huh? Wait, who did I get mixed up with?
No, you made the mix-up and filed a restraining order.
Against myself?
Against yourself.
Right. Okay. Well, that sounds like me. That's totally what I would do.
Exactly. So we're going to take it away with the news.
You should take it away with the news.
Unlike last week, this week's news is brought to you in part by the Rat Bastards at Belmore Towing.
Located. Hey, now wasn't the news brought to us by the Rat Bastards last week?
Well, for those of you astute listeners, I believe our very own Hassan Godwin, which is yourself.
That is myself.
Said that you guys did not have a personal vendetta against the company. Correct me if I am wrong.
We showed absolutely no solidarity for you.
So, just in time for Easter, the fine folks at Belmore Towing, located at 2720 Merrick Road in Belmore, New York, will be happy to treat you in their unscrupulous yet very legal business ways.
And what unscrupulous yet totally legal business ways would those be, Mark? Elaborate a little bit for people who are listening.
Well, let's see. They can have your car towed to their station, and then instead of having you sign the release for the tow, they'll have you sign a waiver that you have to have your car inspected for $50, even though you know what the problem is.
Wow. Wow. And they'll trick you into thinking it's a release for the tow, but it's really a waiver?
Well, it's not a trick. Because they didn't say the way. They just said, sign this. And then, of course, they'll proceed to charge you $60 for a $7 lug nut to repair a tire.
Wow.
But it's legal.
It's legal.
That's right.
It's not scrupulous. It makes no sense. It's evil. But it is legal.
It is legal. And that's the important thing.
Was that from Judge Dredd, the original Judge Dredd with
Sylvester Stallone?
Where he says, the guy, he captures, what's his name? The
Rob Schneider?
Schneider, thank you so much. I was trying to think of a movie that he was in. And he said, you were aiding and abetting and colluding with known criminals. He goes, well, you know, they were there when I got there. And he said, well, you could have gone out the window. And he said, it would have been suicide. He goes, maybe, but it's legal.
Exactly.
And there you go. There you have it. The Judge Dredd defense. Maybe, but it's legal.
So let's start off with the sad news. Kate O'Mara, best known for her role as Karis Morel, the sister of Alexis Colby on the soap opera Dynasty, had died this month after suffering from a short illness. Aside from Dynasty, her most famous role was on Doctor Who as the evil Time Lady, the Rainy, who forced the Doctor to regenerate from Colin Baker's Time Lord into Sylvester McCoy's Time Lord from the 6th to 7th incarnations.
So she's the evil shrill that killed Tom Baker,
yes.
The longest running Doctor.
Yes, and she was 74.
Wow. Okay.
Also on more sad news, we have actor Mickey Rooney died last week on Sunday. Mickey Rooney appeared in such films as, oh boy, To Be Trusted, My Pal the King, the 1935 adaptation of Midsummer Night's Dream, Manhattan Melodrama, Ah, Wilderness, Little Lord Flattery, Captain's Courageous, Boys Towns, A Family Affair, Babes in Arms, Strike Up the Band, Babes in Broadway, Girl Crazy, The Black Stallion, Bill, The Human Comedy, National Velvet, Killer McCoy, Summer Holiday, Quicksand, The Bold and the Brave, Andy Hardy Comes Home, The Private Lives of Adam and Eve, Breakfast at Tiffany's, Requiem for a Heavyweight, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, Night at the Museum, and he appeared in the 2011 Muppet movie, just to name a few.
A little more than a few, okay.
But that's just in comparison to what he did.
Right.
So, yeah, that,
right.
In 1963, he appeared as the very first guest on the Judy Garland Show upon Judy Garland's insistence, because they were friends at the time. He appeared occasionally during the 60s variety shows such as the Dean Martin Comedy Hour, the Smother Brothers Comedy Hour, the Carol Burnett Show, and Hollywood Squares in 13 episodes between 1969 and 1976. He made 15 appearances on The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson from 1970 to 1973. He also did voices for four Christmas TV specials where he played Santa Claus, from The Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, The Year Without Santa Claus, Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July, and The Miser Brothers Christmas. Whew, he also played Saint Nick in a 1982 episode of The Love Boat. Also in 1982, he starred in a short-lived sitcom, One of the Boys, with Dana Carvey and Nathan Lane. He guested on The Golden Girls, Murder, She Wrote, ER, and starred in A New Adventures of the Black Stallion, which was based on a film, for 57 episodes from 1990 to 1993.
Which was based on The Old Adventures of Black Stallion.
Right. He was on Broadway in such productions as Bill and Sugar Babies. And in 1993, he published an autobiography called Life is Too Short. And the next year, he came out with a novel, a Hollywood murder mystery called The Search for Sunny Skies. Whew. Of note, also.
Oh,
of,
no, wait.
Of
wait.
Note.
There's more things of note. Okay.
Yes.
Because these things weren't of note already.
No.
All right. Excellent.
He was considered by Norman Lear for the role of Archie Bunker, but he had turned down the project.
Wow.
So how about that? He could have been.
He could have been Archie Bunker.
Yeah.
Well, Mickey Rooney really didn't need any more acclaim at that point. Even I knew who he was, and I was a kid. So, I mean, it would have made Archie Bunker very different, but I don't know if it would have changed Mickey Rooney's life.
Right.
To any great extent. It would have changed Carol O'Connor's life. But it wouldn't have changed Mickey Rooney's life all that much.
And I remember,
that's amazing.
And I remember that he guest starred on The Simpsons, from one child star to another, talking to Bart Simpson. And he was like, yeah, I was a big MGM star from 19-something-something to 19... It was 2 years. You know, he played like 1967, 1970. And Bart Simpson goes, wow, that's two decades. And he was only 93.
No letter.
No letter from the president. 93 years.
93 years old. Yeah. Wow. That is good for Mickey Rooney. That's good timing. You know?
Yeah.
That's a long stretch here on the planet. And he put in a heck of a lot of work. He's got a heck of a lot of notoriety behind him. So, you know, it's a celebration type thing. Maybe not for him. Maybe he's pissed, you know, at 90 or whatever, he's dead.
93,
But, I mean, the rest of us should be celebrating, you know. That's fantastic.
Of his long career.
Yes, it is. And a good one.
It was a successful one. I don't know about good. Well, you know, there was other things that came up after he passed away, which I won't mention because I don't want to taint this, but they said, you know, there was certain sad things about
his life. All right, we'll talk later. I want to know who said something bad about Mickey Rooney. What the heck?
Well, you can go online. You can find out all about it.
I'm sure you can. I'll do that during the break.
And more sad news.
What? This whole news has been sad news. This is baloney.
Only 3 days after being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, Helwig, also known as the Ultimate Warrior, died on Tuesday when he collapsed outside an Arizona hospital. He was transported via ambulance to the hospital, and he was pronounced dead on the scene. Ultimate Warrior appeared on WWE Raw on Monday in New Orleans on the USA Network to 1 day after WrestleMania 30, where he made a speech saying, "As I thought about what I was going to say this evening, it's been too hard for me to find the words." He paused, and then he pulled out a Ultimate Warrior mask, and he switched to the Ultimate Warrior's voice and continued, "Well then, Warrior, you shut up then and let me do the talking. No WWE talent becomes a legend on their own. Every man's heart one day beats its final beat. His lungs breathe their final breath. And if that man did in his life, makes the blood pulse through the body of others, makes them believe deeper in something larger than life, then his essence, his spirit, will be immortalized by the storytellers, by the loyalty, by the memory." That was his words on Monday.
Wow, just 4 days before he died?
This was Monday, so he died on Tuesday. This is the day before he died, at a speech he said.
And he died the next day outside of a hospital.
Outside of a hotel where he was taken to the hospital.
Hotel. Yeah.
The Ultimate Warrior's career spanned 13 years from 1985 to 1988, including three stints in the WWF at the time. Going from 1987 to 1991, he came back for shorter stints in 92 and 96. The execs say, "WWE is shocked and deeply saddened to learn of the passing of one of the most iconic WWE superstars ever, the Ultimate Warrior. The Warrior began his career in 1987 and quickly went on to become one of the biggest stars in WWE history. Warrior became WWE champion at WrestleMania 6, defeating Hulk Hogan in an epic encounter. We are grateful that just days ago, Warrior had the opportunity to take his rightful place in the WWE Hall of Fame and was also able to appear at WrestleMania 30 and Monday Night Raw to address his legions of fans. WWE sends his condolences to Warrior's families, friends, and fans." He was only 54.
54. All right. That's okay. I have two questions.
Yes.
First of all, 54 is way too young. Well, I have three questions. First of all, 54 is way too young, so that's actually not a question. Here's another question. What did he die from?
The undisclosed. They didn't know yet.
Undisclosed. I see. And here's the last question. It's two-pronged. Did it actually say WWE is shocked and saddened, or does it say we at WWE shocked and saddened?
It said the official quote is... I lost it.
Darn it. I have a point to make. Find it.
All right, hold on. It was on a different paper. WWE is shocked and deeply saddened to learn.
Okay, there you go. That's what I thought. why do officials write this? We got to get new PR people to put better pros together when they're expressing their shock and disappointment, quote unquote. Okay? Because WWE isn't anything. WWE is a entity. It's a business entity. It is a corporate model.
Right.
That people at WWE, and then they, you know, they propagate this this persona onto this corporate model as though the corporation itself has emotions and feelings and stuff like that, which is bonkers, because that's not the way it works. The correct phrasing, the correct way of looking at it, is that the people here feel very strongly. It's the humanity of the situation. They're making a humane statement about the mourning of a passing of a colleague or a friend or an employee, all right? They should go the extra moment to acknowledge the people who acknowledge the loss of this one person instead of cutting a corner to slap this corporate label on this, you know, this basically this homogenized this sentiment of grief, which is, excuse me for bringing the whole show down, but that's infuriating to me. So I just needed to get that off my chat.
Well, that's fine. That's actually very in line with the show.
Yeah, it's not WWE. It's the people at WWE, or it's the president, me, myself, I feel, or whoever the spokesperson, who, you know, who don't even really work here and was only brought in to make this one statement. Really feel bad that this other dude is dead because of, you know, because he used to work here or because I watched him when I was a child. Yada, 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 whatever you want to call it. But this I don't know, it's a profile, you know? The entire company is dismayed. No, it's not!
Maybe there was one guy who didn't like him?
I'm not saying that. It's just the company itself doesn't have feelings.
Right.
This is why we do these fanciful associations with inanimate objects. You know, my television is very upset with me right now because it's not on. Yeah, no, it's not, idiot. So, I'm sorry. I had to get that off my chest.
So speaking,
I heard
of
you read that, and my mind actually exploded.
So I'm all right now. Speaking of corporate entities.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The movie Frozen has become the top-grossing animated film of all time, pulling in a whopping $1.72 billion. That's with a B, billion dollars.
$1.72 billion. This movie must be something amazing. Have you seen Frozen?
I've seen 10 minutes of it.
So you haven't seen Frozen. Okay. Well, you're not the person to ask. But I need someone to tell me why this movie is so, you know, bonkers.
Well, working at a movie theater, I pass by and I keep on seeing the same parts over and over, so I see.
We established that you haven't seen it. We got to move on from that.
All right.
I need to talk to somebody else who has seen it.
Frozen,
I'll find someone, don't worry.
Frozen pushes down Toy Story 3, which was the top reigning one, at $1.63 billion.
Wow.
Frozen also currently occupies the number 10 spot on the list of biggest global blockbusters, and it is the first billion-dollar title from Disney Animation Studios. It had
Do you know what else that Frozen and Toy Story 3 has in common?
What?
I didn't make a dime off of these movies.
It has
another multi-billion-dollar franchise out there floating around in the ether that I'm not making a cent off of. And I got to find a way to change that because that's starting to piss me off.
So maybe you should make your own movie called Brozen.
Yes, which will go nowhere. It will be famous for how bad it does. it'll replace
Zizix, I think that was the movie that was the lowest grossing movie of all time.
What? Which one?
Zizix, I think it was XYZ. Something. It was some weird.
Zizix, really? I thought it was that Vanilla Ice movie.
No. that movie made it only came out in one theater for one show. So it counts as being a theatrical release. And I think only four people went to see it or something. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Frozen has earned $398.4 million domestically and $674 million internationally. So
it's kind of a hit.
Kind of a hit.
Kind of a hit. All right. Well, good for Frozen.
And
good for Frozen.
And speaking of hits,
in a
surprise to no one, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, took the top spot at the box office this last weekend, earning an estimated $303 million worldwide, including $96 million in the United States, topping the previous April record of $86 million set by Fast and Furious 5 in 2011.
That's another piece of funky, though, that notion. That now, because we have no news to report, we're going to tell you what broke a record in a particular month.
Yep.
That's ridiculous. I can understand the seasonal changes, like Christmas. This is the highest grossing,
Christmas,
you know, this is the highest grossing movie in a winter or in a summer. But in April, who cares? It's going to be a highest grossing movie. The last highest grossing movie in April could have made $600. It's that random. So it's not really, that's not news. $300 million worldwide, that's news. $96 million domestic in the first weekend, that's news. The highest grossing movie in April, or it broke record. No, that's the thing. And then you see the website and it says this record-breaking film. It broke one record. It broke a record in April. Who cares about April?
Marvel cares about April.
Huh?
Marvel cared about April.
No. Nobody cares about April. You know why? Julius Caesar didn't even make it to April, okay? So nobody cares about April.
What about the tax people? The tax people care about April.
Really? you got nothing then, huh, Mark? Yeah, you absolutely have nothing. Okay, fine. I consider that argument one. What's the next piece of news?
Well, speaking of someone who would care about April releases.
Someone who would care about April releases.
Three times is not the charm for the great actor that is Arnold Schwarzenegger, as he has now made three consecutive box office quote-unquote bombs, with his most recent release, Sabotage, pulling in only $5.2 million.
Wow.
His last two movies, The Last Stand, made $6.2 million, and Escape Plan made $9.2 million.
So nothing.
Nothing.
He's gonna be in the Terminator movie, and he's gonna be in Expendables. So those movies will bottom him out, or bring him all around.
Well, he has a list of stuff that's coming up, but the critics say Arnold has been a box office bust in the United States ever since he came back from his political tour of duty. And even before that, his star was steadily failing. The reason he's still being offered modestly budgeted action films at his age is the fact that overseas audiences are still smitten with the aging action star. Obviously, it isn't 1986 over here anymore, but he can still flex his muscles abroad.
Typical critics and their complete anti-socialist, or, you know, social in general, anti-social, not socialist, not the political platform, but anti-social, anti-integrity article about, you know, personally taking jabs at Arnold's age and his professionalism or whatever. It is notable that his movies aren't making a lot of money since he became the governor. It is not notable to talk about him being aged, or talking about his, the fact that it's not 1986 or whatever. That's ridiculous. That's poor journalism. There's a level of professionality that you have to have while you're reporting something. You give the news. I don't care about your opinion. I don't want your little snarky comment on top. That's our job. That's for satirists like ourselves to make the snarky comments, not for journalists. You know, there's an air of professionalism that these people just do not achieve anymore. And that's just ridiculous. That statement was ridiculous.
Well, to make him feel better, Arnold Schwarzenegger did pull in the Escape Plan almost $100 million over in China. So he does have some validity saying that over here it's not as big.
It's not a matter of feeling better or worse about Arnold. I'm sure Arnold can take care of himself. He's got the money, you know. He's okay. If he never makes another movie again, he'll be all right. It's just it's just the lack of integrity of our
the critics.
Yeah, well, no, just our standards, our societal standards are just collapsing on a regular basis. Like, even the people who report on things, something as trivial as a movie and a guy who's not making money at his movie can't even do it without an air of contemptuous inflection, you know, in the prose. It's ridiculous. It's just, you go on the internet, that's all there is there. It's some jerk making a comment, or even if they make a compliment, you know, it always starts out with these comments. Always starts out, well, I had my problems with it, but all in all, it was a good movie. That's about as in depth, a deep compliment as you will get on the internet.
Now I feel bad because that's what I'm planning on saying later on.
Yeah, well, there you go. There you go.
Schwarzenegger.
You are an internet child.
Schwarzenegger has several projects in development, including, as Hassan mentioned, Terminator Genisys, set out for July of 2015, Maggie, a post-apocalyptic horror film that co-stars Abigail Breslin, which follows a teenage girl in the Midwest who becomes infected by a disease that slowly turns the victims into zombies. It's set to open later this year. He also has coming out is Expendables 3, The Legend of Conan, and Triplets, which he will reteam with his twins co-star Danny DeVito, for a sequel, and also a remake of The Toxic Avenger.
Wow.
So he's...
Maybe Arnold deserved all that snark. Those are bad movies. Those are some bad choices he made right there. But okay, fair enough. Speaking of bad choices.
Director and Hassan's best friend, Michael Bay, has announced that Transformers Age of Extinction, due out in July, is going to be part of a new trilogy. Michael Bay says, it's kind of like a new Transformers. We had three, the first trilogy, and this is going to be the next one. It's the first
of
a new trilogy.
Wow, Michael Bay, is that what a new trilogy means?
I'm not necessarily...
Is that what a new trilogy versus the old trilogy mean? We had three, and now we're going to make another three. Wow,
That's not nice to talk about your best friend like that.
I am a satirist. I can do whatever I want. I am not a journalist. Please continue the quote. I need more to laugh at.
The first trilogy, and this is going to be the next one. It's first of a new trilogy, but I'm not necessarily sure that I'm doing the others, but that's what it's meant for.
I'm necessarily sure that whatever you do, you ruin so much of what you've done already that whoever takes over for you is not going to be able to fix it. That's what I'm assured of. Unless Spielberg himself comes out of wherever they have him hidden and decides to direct the next two. There's no saving the Transformers franchise. And it's good that we're getting six, because I'm sure we need six Transformers movies.
Yes.
That's because the other two were so spectaculosis, all right, that we need the other three, that we definitely need three more.
They made, you know, big bags of money, so...
Well, they're universally loved by all, aren't they? Aren't they all universally... Doesn't everybody love the Transformers? No.
But they loved it with their money. So if you made $1 billion on one movie...
They voted with their wallet.
Exactly.
It's like those Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the terrible face Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that they're coming out now.
Yeah.
Who look like Mickey Rooney, ironically enough, for no reason whatsoever.
It's all about the money, you know? If it's making the money, why would you not
make another one? A lot of money.
Well, you know, what we always say here, it's a capitalist society, and
I'm not arguing against that. Of course it's making money, so of course they're going to make more.
Right.
But I'm just saying that Transformers is so bad, and so universally considered bad. I mean, maybe not universally, but I mean, so publicly considered bad.
Right.
At least in the public arena.
Yes.
That the idea that it's going to get three more is so absurd.
But
I'm sure all three of them are going to make upwards of $400 million
$300 million
domestic. So of course they're going to make three more. But that is the problem with our society. If nobody notices it, there it is. These are horrible films. Everybody is talking about how horrible these films were. They got those movie sites up. Are you excited about Age of Extinction? And like comment underneath this. No. Not excited because I saw the last one. And I'm not excited because Michael Bay is still attached to it.
And yet those people are the ones that are going to go see the next one. So
it's going to make it go $1 trillion. That's fine. That's fine. But that's what's wrong with everything. That's what the problem is.
All right. So with that, we're going to take our break. We'll be right back with It Came From Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
And you and I together, we can find our dreams.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to We Came From Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking along with Hassan Godwin on the phone and our very own Brian Graves in the booth.
Gee, that was sure hot.
The last one was the Ultimate Warrior theme song, right?
Right.
Okay.
The what?
The Ultimate Warrior's entrance theme song.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear anything because I couldn't hear any of the music.
Oh, no, really?
Complete blank for me. Yeah, So that's why I was like, wow, that was hot.
So what was the other two?
The one before that was The Adventures of Black Stallion.
Ah, okay. That's why it seemed familiar. All right.
And the first one was, of course, Hassan's favorite, Judge Dredd.
Theme
music. So nice to hear all of those songs.
I never saw the original Judge Dredd, that's why. Yeah. Oh, well.
My loss.
See, that's what you get for being restraining on yourself.
Well, he gets to go to the archives, and he could listen to it.
Yes.
There you go.
Even though he's here live, but because he missed it, he'll have to go to the archives and listen to what he would have heard if he was here live. Wait.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. You really? See? He got it. He got it.
Really?
He got it.
Okay.
So, this week...
I don't want to talk about whatever you want to talk about this week. How about that? How about I'm going to hang up the phone right now and go try to figure out how to talk to you live without talking to you at all while I'm not speaking to you on the dead phone on the live recording of the past 2 weeks or whatever. Go ahead.
This week, we're going to be talking about the Captain America, aforementioned Captain America movie.
Oh, yay. Captain America. And let's also talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yay. Because it's just linked in some way.
Yes, they are supposedly the episode before Captain America came out, the episode after, and then this week's episode will all be linked and tied into the Captain America movie because
Agents
of
S.H.I.E.L.D.
crazy, crazy things that happened in the movie.
Yes.
Which would be the problem I had with the Captain America movie.
You had a problem with the Captain America movie?
So, I have to put things into perspective, first of all. I mean,
oh, boy.
Most of the Marvel movies have been substandard to me. I mean, I only liked the first Iron Man, the second Iron Man, the Captain America.
Third Iron Man.
No, I did not
Avengers.
Like. I did not like the third Iron Man. I did not care for Thor. I did not care for Thor 2. I did not care for Iron Man 3. And so Avengers is kind of like the midway point. It's either better than Avengers or worse than Avengers. And
what about Captain America 1?
Captain America 1 was my favorite. It was the best one out of all of them. And then Iron Man 1.
Okay, so you liked Iron Man 2,
Captain
the Avengers,
America.
Captain America.
And
right?
That's pretty much
did
it.
Did you like the Hulk?
Yes, I liked the Hulk.
So that's five. That's six.
So
you actually don't like Iron Man 3 and the two Thor movies.
Right.
You dislike three out of the nine. So you more than average like the Marvel movies.
But the bar is kind of, what I'm saying is the bar is not that high.
How can the bar not be high if you like an average of, if you like...
Four. I liked four.
You liked Thor.
No, four. One, two, three, four. I liked four movies. Captain America, Iron Man, Iron Man 2, and the Hulk. Avengers was kind of on the bar for me. So that's the line right there is Avengers.
So you don't like Avengers.
It was all right. It was entertaining for what it was, but it had a lot of problems. So
right,
I can't put it down as a like. It's just that's the average right there.
So you didn't like it.
It was all right. I mean, it had a lot of. It was.
You either like something or you don't like it.
I'm on the fence on the Avengers.
So that you don't dislike it.
Right. I don't dislike it. I don't like it. It's just in the middle.
How do you hold it? How do you hold a movie that's in the middle as a bar?
That's the line. So it's either if you're above it, I liked it. If you're below it, I didn't like it. That's what I'm saying is the line right there. Because that's on the fence. Anyway.
How do you use something that's on the fence as a gauge between what's good or what's bad?
Because if you're on one side of the fence, it's good. If you're on the other side of the fence, it's bad.
You have something that tastes really great.
Right.
You have something that almost tastes rotten. And you have something that's rotten. And then you use the almost rotten to make yourself decide whether something is great or rotten.
Yeah.
No, you use what's great as the bar. That's your bar. No, that's the bar.
No, the bar is whether it's on the fence. So if you're on the right hand side or left hand side, or in the middle.
But you can't use mediocrity to judge the you can't use something that's mediocre to judge the integrity of other things.
Is it better than mediocre? Already, that's the question.
No, but then you're already working with a deficit. Then your control group is already at a deficit. So you're already inclined to dislike whatever it is you're judging, because you're judging it at a deficit instead of judging it at the pinnacle, which is where you're supposed to be.
Well, in that case, then it will go down to two movies that I liked, and then everything else is on the side.
So you like the two Captain America, you like the two Iron Man movies and Captain America, 3, and the Hulk, that's 4, right?
Yes, but if we're using the pinnacle as the greatness, I'll say that Captain America was the best, and that should be the standard where all of the movies should be marked up against.
Right.
Captain America, number one. Done.
Well, I don't know if that should be the standard, but is it on par with that? Does it come near that?
So,
you know, the
I'm going to say that it's the first 2 out of the 3 acts was on par with the first Captain America movie.
We were talking about Captain America now.
Right, we're talking about Captain America 2.
Okay.
So the Captain America
They lost you somewhere at the third act.
Yes, they lost me somewhere at the third act because I felt that it was kind of bloated and that they had to put too much stuff in there.
Now, Mark, if you're gonna use adjectives, you have to explain the adjectives. So you've applied bloated. What does bloated mean?
It felt that they put too much stuff into the movie where they did not need to.
Too much stuff into the movie.
Right.
Okay.
So many tie-ins that it feels like they have to do. It's kind of like when you're reading your Captain America comic, and then there's a crossover, and so then the editor comes to the writer and says, "All right, we have an explosion in Manhattan, and this has to be in there, and this has to be in there because that's happening in all the other comics that's reaching all over the entire Marvel universe." And the writer's like, "Yeah, but I was going to do this." Like, well, you're going to have to add this and this and this in. So then the story kind of gets bloated.
Kind of what they did to Sam Raimi in the third Spider-Man movie.
Exactly. They just put too much in there. So it was I was not able to enjoy the entire movie because of all the extra stuff, which they tied into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They had the Titans and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it was even an article saying about how the ending of the movie, the climactic ending, was forced on the writers. Editor-in-Chief Kevin Feige came in and he said, "Right, this is how it has to end. This is what I need to do, is have these, the exploding ships. I need to put the exploding ships in there." That's what he told them. So
okay.
That's
just an action sequence. That doesn't.
It's just like the classic Kevin Smith Superman, where the producer went over and said, "I want Superman to fight a giant spider." And he's like, "But why would he fight a giant spider for?" That's what I want in a movie. And then it turned out, if you remember, he went on to do Wild Wild West, the producer, and in Wild Wild West, there's a giant spider in the movie.
Oh wow.
So
I didn't even make that correlation.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty sad.
Yeah, so that's it's like, we want this to happen? It has to happen. So because it wasn't its own little movie, like unlike the first movie, which was pretty much its own movie, I felt that they had to add too many things. I mean, Falcon was unnecessary. When they added Falcon in, they added another element that was not needed to have it a good movie. The movie's called The Winter Soldier. But that's kind of like just a side story. If they had just had the entire movie about the Winter Soldier, or if they had the whole movie about what it was, which was about the S.H.I.E.L.D., I think it would have been great. But putting both of them together kind of diluted the movie.
Mm.
So okay. that's why I cannot say I really enjoyed this movie. However, it is still better than a lot of them because the other ones weren't that good at all.
You're saying Avengers wasn't that good at all?
Avengers had a lot of problems.
Okay.
And that's how I watch a movie. If I'm watching a movie and I'm sitting there thinking, well, why did they do that? Or why did this happen?
Give me one example. I know we're not talking about Avengers, but give me one example of how Avengers.
The whole fact that the Hulk didn't know that Coulson had died, because the whole thing was that they needed something to bring all the characters together. But the Hulk didn't even know that he died.
I guess Director Fury meant the other Hulk. He probably wasn't even counting Hulk as part of one of their assets at that point, because he had freaked out and almost destroyed the ship and then got ejected. So
or the fact that for one movie, a portion of the first movie, and in a portion of the Avengers, Bruce Banner had no control over the Hulk. And then all of a sudden, hey, I'm all right.
That's absolutely terrible. I think everybody universally agrees that that's one of the worst little gimmicks that they put in the movie. That's a Whedonism, by the way. The Buffy show and also Angel were full of those, where it's like, ooh, that's an ooh ah moment.
Yes,
you know,
and
where it's like it makes no sense, but it's a crowd pleaser.
And I have to admit that I was blown away by the fact that the Hulk, as soon as he did that, and then the action he took afterwards, which was took out that giant ship with one punch, I was like, oh my god, it's the greatest thing ever, because I am a huge Hulk fan. So, you know, he played to me, and then afterwards I'm like, hey, wait a minute, you distracted me. You
hey,
distracted me. So
that's what happened to me. I was a big Buffy fan until about season 4 or 5, and I was like, hey, wait a minute. And that was it. That was the end of my love affair with Joss Whedon.
So,
I mean, we can't really go into it because it's too elaborate. But I mean, right around that time, I was like, I quit.
Right. So it took you 6 years. It took me, you know, an hour and a half.
4 years. It took me 4 years.
Oh, it took you 4 years. It took me an hour and a half to get it. Like, hey, wait a second. But so this Captain America, while it was pretty good, you know, Chris Evans did a great job. The interaction between Scarlett Johansson and Chris Evans was great. Even Sam Jackson did a great job, but it just had too much stuff going on in the movie to enjoy it as it, you should have done.
Oh, okay.
What about you? What did you think of the movie?
I liked it.
That's it? You just liked it?
You know what? I thought it was on point. I don't have... The thing about these movies, my threshold, as you're saying, is low.
Okay.
But I mean, for all of them. Not like, okay, if it's better than, you know, if it's better than a hit in the head with a hammer, then it's this. And if it's worse than a hit in the toe with a boot, you know. So my bar is kind of low. Now, I do agree with you that the Thor movies are probably the lowest in the rung, but that's only because they reach for absolutely no potential with Thor. Thor is those two movies are a big waste. You have an entire Norse mythology that you can pick from, along with superpowers, and you just the two movies they've chosen to do have been so lackluster. And I'm sure it's budgetary, but geez, it's, you know, you could get a potential Lord of the Rings movie out of each one of those films.
Yeah,
and they just don't. And I'm sure there's a way to do it where it's not cost prohibitive to do something that epic, but nobody wants to take the chance to do that. That's fine. I think Iron Man movies are great. I went into the original Captain America movie to see how bad it was going to be. You know, that was the whole thing, and I was completely blown away by it. I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was a great period piece, and it stayed in the 40s for the entire film, which was fantastic. And, you know, I fell in love with Captain America. I thought it was great. It wasn't really a flag-waving, rah-rah-rah movie. You know, it's more of a contemplative person from an idealistic age trying to make sense out of how cynical the world has become, which bleeds from that first movie into this second movie. And I think that's a great way of going about it, because you have the idealistic, the golden age of the 40s and the 50s, where, you know, the greatest generation, the height of, optimism and stuff like that for America. And then you bring it into the now, where things are socially better for almost all parties involved, but there's a lot of values that are lost. And this person, instead of talking about how great the world is, he's basically trying to see how he fits in it. You know, instead of talking about how great things used to be, he's trying to fit into how things are today. And I think that was a great way of really kind of grounding that character. And then, of course, then they throw in a lot of explosions. Yeah, I gotta admit, I'm a guy, so I think watching things blow up is fun. You know, I try to be a cut above that and not have that be the only thing I go to the movies for, but I still like to see things blow up.
All right.
So, you know,
I thought maybe I don't know if I disagree with if I agree with the Falcon thing. I don't see how he hurt it, but I don't see how he helped it either. So I kind of agree with you. And I don't know about I'm on the fence about not necessarily Scarlett Johansson, but about Black Widow. I'm on the fence about why she's even. I know she's an Avenger in the comics, and especially in Ultimate, she has a big role in Ultimate.
Right.
But what they're doing with her character is just she's just a sex bomb. She's just the hot chick that runs around and kicks butt, you know. Which I mean, look, it's not a it's in no way a bad thing, but it's an overused and overdone cliche. And there needs to be a little more if they're going to have her be part of it as much as she is. There needs to be a little more background to her. It's just a lot more information about her just to make her something more than a two-dimensional. You know, a pair of boobs. So,
pun intended,
or a three-dimensional pair of boobs.
I would say yes. She was the chick.
Yeah,
she wasn't Black Widow. She was the chick.
And the only interesting thing about it is that she wasn't his love interest.
Right. I thought that's why part of the dynamic between the two of them. I thought that it worked off well because she was not the love interest.
Right.
I think that was a good idea for them not to go that route.
Yeah, because that's obvious. The fact that she would be his love interest would be way too obvious. And they just didn't go that way, and that made it interesting. But you did sit there wondering, okay, why? This could have been any of the other Avengers.
Right. It could have even been Falcon.
Yeah, for the most part.
And they could have had the same, buddy-buddy back and forth, and actually would have made his role even bigger and better for the movie.
Right.
So it's like they split the one person into two people. For all intents and purposes,
of the movie. Because there's not going
to
be another Iron Man movie,
right?
And there's not going to be they're not going to do another Hulk movie before Avengers 2,
right?
So they had to throw her in there so that she can be relevant. And they're certainly not going to be a Black Widow movie anytime soon.
Right.
They're still on the fence about whether they're going to make one or not in the first place.
Right. So also,
there's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. television show, which had a direct tie-in, didn't get a ratings boost.
No, it actually got the lowest ratings.
Yeah. Now everybody speculates that nobody watched it because they didn't want to have the Winter Soldier ruined.
Right.
So we'll have to see how the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does this week to see if that's. It's not going to get canceled though. They're not going to cancel.
No.
There's no way.
So getting to the end of the movie, just the biggest problem I had was the. There's a climactic battle. Giant stuff's blowing up all over the place. And he has a tiny little chip. And he drops the tiny little chip, and he's able to recover the tiny little chip. Now, I have been standing still, and I've dropped a pen, and I can't find a pen in a room.
But you're not Captain America.
It bothers me to no end that he was able to do what he did.
But Mark,
during this entire
Captain
time.
Captain America, you are not Captain America.
Right, so he has the... ability to find stuff that's on the floor.
If he can jump out of a plane with no parachute, then he can definitely find a pen on the floor. You got to give him a little something right there.
That's the superpower.
You're doing the Indiana Jones thing where, he can't survive a nuclear explosion in a fridge. Right, but he can do all that other stuff he did in the other three movies.
Yes. So stuff like that towards the end really hurt an enjoyable movie for me. So in my opinion.
Okay.
That's I'm just had to throw that in there.
I agree with you to an extent. I didn't think it was the bee's knees, like everybody else has been saying. Like, is this the greatest movie I've ever seen? It's even better than Avengers. And yet, no, I didn't think that. I don't think that they're wrong. I just vehemently disagree with them about versus my experience with it. I didn't think it was that extensive. I thought it was a great movie. I thought it was well done. It was a good sequel. I thought it was an event that I enjoyed. Being, present for, I didn't feel like I wasted my money spending the money to get in, but I did not think it was the second coming. But that's basically those are the gauges that everyone has. It's either total suck or second coming.
Right.
So that nobody really know. There's no middle ground with our people anymore. So that's to be expected.
So for you, people should go out and see it.
Yeah.
3D or no 3D.
No 3D. I never say 3D. 3D gives me a headache.
All right. I say if you're really into Captain America, you should go see it. If not, you can go, if you want to see something action-packed, go see The Raid 2 instead. Because that was a great movie.
Yeah, the movie we didn't review or talk about at all.
Yes, go see that movie instead of seeing Captain America if you want to see a great action movie. I'm just saying.
Good advice, Mark.
Just saying. But if you have to see Captain America, go see a matinee. You don't need the 3D. And I guess wait for the Avengers 3 to come out and see more of him. Avengers 2 to come out and see more of him.
Right.
So that about does it on this week of It Came From The Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBB. And if you missed any part of the show, like our very own Hassan Godwin did, go to the archives on www.itcamefromtheradio.com and you can listen to them any week or so. We'll see you next week on Easter.
Okay.
You have been listening to It Came From The Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.